This is an eavesdropping conversation. I'm Juliet Fraser, and today I'm talking to Nick Knack. Welcome, Nick Knack.
Hello.
Nice to see you. I wonder if we can begin with you telling us a bit how you would describe yourself as a musician.
So if I describe myself as a musician more specifically, I'm a turntablist. I wear many hats in the industry. So for streamlining purposes, I'm a turntablist. I also am a producer and a sound artist and designer too.
Amazing. And for the non-streamlined version, do you want to tell us all about the hats?
The non-streamlined version is best kind of summed up by saying I'm a music creative. So that includes like radio work, my DJing work, doing like sound design and composing, as well as like events promotion. I'm also a board director with the F-List, do a whole bunch of stuff. So yeah, it's stacking basically. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. And can you tell us a bit about your musical journey, how you got into doing this sort of creative work and how you've come to be doing this great range of stuff that you're doing these days?
It started when I was very young. Basically, I grew up with a sound system in the house. I was surrounded by vinyl just growing up. Anyway, my mum's collection is and was ridiculous. So we just grew up around vinyl and speakers and bass. That soon led to me learning about like musical instruments and learning piano a little bit in school. And then I think it was in secondary school where music production kind of started to take more of a focus. There was a video game actually called Music 2000, which I got, which you can make beats on a PS1. And I became obsessed with that, as well as just gaming anyway. And it all kind of went from there, basically. So like my fascination with doing things behind the scenes in music as opposed to being a performer, it led me to kind of study music in college and in uni. And while I was in uni, that was where my DJing kind of took off. I started to take that more seriously. So during my studies, I would play gigs at the same time. I used to work at a bar and I did a DJ set. And then that slowly led to me just not working behind the bar anymore, but being a regular DJ there instead and like putting on nights and stuff. And then when I moved from there to do my master's in Leeds, things really took off for me there as well. So became involved with the scene very quickly and yeah, ended up supporting a variety of artists and making music. And yeah, it's become more and more and more intense as years have gone on. Yeah, I don't think I'm leaving anything out, although I probably am. So yeah, that's that kind of sums it up in a way. Yeah.
I'm wondering about your mum's record collection. Are there key records that were kind of pivotal listening experiences for you that you still remember?
There's Dennis Brown, Get to Love in Time. There was a lot of Omar, a lot of King Tubby. Yeah, a lot of just in general, a lot of dub and soul, I'd say. And yeah, that was like very key. There was some hip hop as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, dub and soul definitely was like up there.
And when you talk about the scene that you're part of now, how would you describe that? I mean, I always struggle with that myself. We seem to have, you know, overlapping labels and different labels that you use on different occasions. But I'm wondering how for listeners, you would describe the scene that you're part of.
Okay, so for the most part, it's the electronic music scene. Mm. And there are many sub-levels within that, especially with genre. But I'd say it's more diverse than people realize. I think people tend to have a kind of assumption of what electronic music looks like and sounds like, and it's much more than that. Mm. And especially as a Black person, we kind of sometimes get pigeonholed into kind of, oh, we make urban music or we make this.
Right.
And it's like, well, there are people in the electronic music scene that are doing weird and wonderful things that you can't put into a box. And there's people getting more and more recognition for that, for their hard work, working outside of those boxes. So I'd say, yeah, there's kind of there's an interesting melting pot of like, there's a lot going on, but at the same time, some people are getting not a lot of support, or it's, you know, if it's not a certain form of marketability, then you're slower on the uptake.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that your stuff isn't good, or it's not, you know, groundbreaking or whatever. It's just, there's a level of like, well, how much can we push this or whatever and stuff? And it feels a bit weird. But yeah, it's definitely more diverse and more experimental than people realize, I think, just like on a face like value, I'd say.
It sounds very similar to my scene. I mean, the classical music scene is pretty conservative, really, but there are all sorts of experimental fringe activities that go on that are, you know, often not recognized or not even known about by the kind of industry fat cats. Doesn't stop us getting on with it, though.
That's it. Yeah,
so I'm wondering about this experimentalism, and actually I get a sense from the way that you talk that you're perhaps, I'm going to speculate here, but perhaps quite driven to kind of have an impact in the industry and to support people who may not be getting the recognition or to contribute to change. Is that, am I reading correctly between the lines?
I can only speak for myself, because obviously there are other artists that are already doing that and in their own ways as well, which is great. For me, it's like, well, you know, I have a lot of interests. I can make music in a genre if I want to, and out of a genre if I want to. Ultimately, yeah, it's just me expressing myself. So, you know, I don't want to be tied to a box or put into a box. So showing people that it's possible to have a career in music where you don't fit into a box is, I guess, subconsciously a part of it as well. And it's like, yeah, I have ADHD and dyslexia, and there's a whole load of ideas swimming around my head like at any given minute, but also like, I have a lot of skills, and to be able to forge a career where I'm using those skills on a regular basis is really important to me as well, because I've spent a sizable amount of time, and it's nothing wrong with this, obviously, but spent a long time kind of working somewhere that's completely like nothing to do with the industry at all, that's completely separate to it, and then having to then put that hat away for when I do a DJ set or a radio show. And it felt very like I'm having to split off into two different people, and I don't want to keep doing that because it's very exhausting.
Yeah.
So now that it's like, no, this is what I do, this is the work that I do, and getting recognized for it, getting work, getting all of this stuff, and doing what I can at my own pace as well, because there's a weird like assumption that you have to hustle and do all the things, and it's like, well, you don't have to. That's actually kind of bad for you if you're having to like hustle and really, you know, bend over backwards just to get stuff done. But
yeah,
you know, I think it's just, yeah, like just showing people that, especially as a DJ as well, like showing another side to DJing, because it kind of has a weird identity already of like, yeah, it's just club music and that's it. And it's like, well, no, it can be more expressive than that. It can be a format to tell stories. It can be, you know, you can compose with turntables, you can do all kinds of stuff. So yeah, just showing people, I guess, different ways of experiencing music without it being so formatted and like stereotypical, I'd say. Yeah.
This year our festival forum topic is experiments in defiance. Is that word defiance something that resonates with you?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, going against the grain. Yeah, because like I'm from London originally, but I moved out of London. I did the opposite thing because, you know, a lot of people, you go to uni, you move out of London for uni and then you move back and then you stay there. That's kind of the going assumption of a lot of studying. But I did it the opposite way. So I was like, nah, I'll go, but I won't come back. Or if I do come back, it's for a gig or for some work or to see family and stuff, you know. So yeah, I've kind of done it a backwards way. But that doesn't mean to say that my work is any less whatever than what it would be if I had come back and lived in London. And yeah, I do things very differently. Like people have kind of, and I'm very thankful, you know, people are seeing that the way that I DJ, for example, or the way that I will kind of include turntables in as much of what I do as possible is very different, is very experimental. And, you know, people have kind of said that I'm similar to like very big name turntablists, which is very, you know, very heartwarming. It really does mean a lot to me. But I'm only just expressing myself, but I'm just doing it in, I guess, because I, you know, if I have an idea and it gets made and it's done, then, you know, if the listener or the audience member is, I don't know, brought to a place where they think of this other person,
through me just
doing my thing, that's really heartwarming. Like, I appreciate that. But yeah, I think, you know, and especially like as I get older too, there is a certain level of like, oh, especially as a black person, black woman, it kind of like comes across sometimes of like, okay, this is when everything starts to shut down. This is when everything becomes quieter, or you're supposed to get quieter because you're getting older. And it's like, well, no, I'll keep going. I'll make an adjustment to the things that I'm doing. And, you know, I'm more cognizant of my capacity. And like, for example, like, you know, traveling can be very exhausting for me. So I need a bit longer in order to like rest and then go and do the thing. For example, like, you know, I'm taking those things into consideration, but that doesn't mean that I'm slowing down.
Mm.
And like, you know, in recent years, things have really been kicking up for me, which is really great. So there is in no way any kind of suggestion that I should slow down or stop. It's just, no, I'll readjust the things so I can still keep doing it, because I don't see myself stopping anytime soon. And that in itself is a form of defiance, because I think a lot of people tend to assume that, oh, when you hit a certain age, or, you know, if you decide to have a family, then that means that your career has to stop or whatever. It's like, actually, no, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's a lot of there is a lot of defiance in what I do, because I just don't have time for it.
I like it. I'm wondering who you're listening to at the moment. Which other artists are you finding interesting or inspiring?
So there's Lorraine James, who's just dope. She's just dope. There's Space Africa. They've been doing some really interesting things, and I believe they're Manchester based as well, or from Manchester. So it's nice to have that like outside of London.
Absolutely.
Version of electronic music too. There's Nwando Ibezi. She's another Aurum Award winner and does a lot of experimental stuff.
That's the PRSF's Aurum, Daphne Aurum Award, right?
Yes. Yeah, the Aurum Awards in kind of celebrating Daphne Aurum and women, trans, non-binary people making electronic music and doing really, really cool things with it. Like myself, Lorraine and Nwando are all winners of that. So,
brilliant.
Yeah. Like we do cool stuff. There's a show that I used to do called on a Worldwide FM called Melanin, and I would play music from black artists no matter what the genre is and no matter from where in the world. And there's more examples of everybody's music on that show, and mm-hmm. you can kind of listen to like the kind of library of those shows on Worldwide FM still. If you wanted to find out more, then check out the Melanin show on Worldwide FM as well.
Thinking about experimentalism, which is how you describe your part of your practice anyway, and is very much what eavesdropping is about, what are the experiments that are exciting you at the moment in your music making?
I've been purposefully doing work in like surround sound.
Mm.
So I think that's another way of experiencing music outside of like cinema, for people to really like gain an understanding of. And I think that's really fun. And I really like just making music with that potentiality in mind of like, I could perform this in surround sound. So what would that look like, you know? And what would that mean in terms of like the mixing and all of that stuff? Like what would that mean? So that's been really fun. And also, where did the turntables fit? Because some of the music that I have made and continue to make, sometimes they have turntables in them in some way. Sometimes it's like more obvious than others. Sometimes in some tracks, there's like no turntables at all. It's just the best way for me to express that particular idea in that particular track is without turntables. And that's fine too. So that's been fun. And like I recently remixed Philip Glass on a project with PRS and like the publishers, I think it's Dunvegan and Orange Mountain Music. And that was cool because I thought initially, oh yeah, I will just create a turntablist piece with his work. But then when I found a piece, because we got access to like his entire library of stuff, which is huge. And that was kind of daunting, to be fair. But like sifting through the stuff that I did like, and I settled upon this one track in particular, listening to it again and again, I was like, I don't need to do that. Like, there's enough going on in the track, which is called Metamorphosis. There's enough going on in there for me to not touch it. Like, I don't need to do that. I will emphasize what's there. And I ended up doing something that's more percussive and more drummy that I've done in a very long time. But it was nice to have to give it that space. And also it means that, you know, whenever it is that I come to perform that track live, if I want to scratch on top, I can, yeah. But I don't have to. And I like that there's that choice as well for other DJs too, like when they listen to it. Like if they want to do other bits and pieces on top of it, then they can, because there's room in the mix for that.
Mm.
So yeah, I think the main thing at the moment is like just experimenting with how I look at drums and in surround sound. And just surround sound in general with turntablism, and really building upon that, because I've been very blessed to have some performances in surround sound so far in very recent years, outside of studying as well, because I think that's another kind of barrier with it. So it's been nice to experiment with those things outside of education. So I'm just quite keen to see where it will take me next.
Does it change a lot the way that you think about material, the way that you think about sonic material when you're thinking about space?
It doesn't change a lot. It doesn't change. It's kind of like I guess I tend to think more in frequencies, like bass can move around, but it doesn't that much because it's such a low frequency. It can just be anywhere really. And then, you know, the mids can kind of move around a bit. Highs can move around a bit.
Yeah.
But if you want specific sounds to move, then you've got the control over that whole frequency range, and that can move around. It just depends on what the material is. Like, I found that I like particular sounds, not necessarily more than others, but it's like, oh, there's more in quotation marks for me to do with this sound than perhaps with others.
Mm.
But then it's a case of, okay, well, how can I use that sound in a different way then, but still have it be expressive, whether that's in stereo or in like binaural or surround or whatever, like how can I still make it be something expressive? So it might be percussive. It might just stay as it is. And then I do stuff around it, or it might be that I completely mess with it and it's completely different. So I like having that freedom around just messing around with what comes to me in that moment. That's really fun.
Mm. Yeah, great. I wonder if you can tell us a bit about what you think you might be bringing to the eavesdropping performance. Are you bringing some turntables with you?
Yes, I'll be doing some new stuff.
Great. That's like, what we like.
I'll be doing some new stuff. I'll say that.
Cool. Taking some risks with us, I hope.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I can't wait to hear it. Thank you for joining me today. It's lovely to talk to you. Thanks for your time, and very much looking forward to your performance in the festival.
Thanks for having me.
Join us for Nick Knack's performance in the Eavesdropping Festival on Sunday, the 2nd of April at Cafe Otto. You can find out more about what we do by visiting www.eavesdropping.london. You have been listening to an eavesdropping conversation. Our new jingle was composed for us by Iza Otoya.